We are DC On Screen. We are back, and we have a lot of new things to discuss, such as WB's new name and tagline. Robert Pattinson got a new first deal look with WB. Shazam got a new costume. Michael Keaton gets a new splatter of blood in an old costume. Sasha Kaye got a new haircut. Peacemaker got a new vigilante. Sandman announced a whole mess of new people. And Batwoman's Luke Fox got a new suit. All of that and a whole lot more after these very important words that we can't control.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome into DC On Screen episode 638. This is the podcast where we talk about the DC Comics multiverse on film and television, give honest opinions on projects upcoming and past, and believe that every version of a property is valid, even if we don't want it to be. If it's been released, it is fair game, so beware of spoilers and welcome to the show. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, the man who once crashed into a utility pole because a cicada flew into his face through the window, Jason Goss.
They both had it coming.
Have you heard about all this stuff with cicadas?
No, but that inspires me. Occasionally something crazy like that happens, they'll like shut down a whole freaking metropolis.
Yeah, no, you should check out Strange News over at NPR. Because, like, this is, like, here's one of the headlines from March 25th. Brood X, the rise of the 17-year cicadas.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right. And that means, like, it's a real thing. They will conquer every once in a while. Like,
oh, I know.
Like, there are some real interesting theories about how, like, the plagues back in the Moses days were actually conceivably like something that may have happened around the same time. Like there may be some historical accuracy to it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is basically like, yeah, so this part we can vouch for. Fucking cicadas everywhere.
Yeah, look at this. Plane carrying Biden's press corps was about to take off. Then the cicadas swarmed. They were delayed several hours due to cicadas that filled the plane's engine.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and a cicada literally flew in through
breed.
The window. And
that will be known
crash.
As MAGA cicadas.
MAGA cicadas.
Bright red tint to their wings.
Make America chirp again.
The story delights me, though. I love it. Almost as fun to me as the... you remember a few years ago when there were just unnaturally cold weathers in the South for a second?
Nope.
I mean, it lasted all of 2 weeks.
Oh,
but okay. For us, like 10 degrees which is for like what freaking, I don't even know what that is in Celsius, but like it's 2 degrees or 10 degrees is just like desperately cold for us. Mm. We don't even have to do it with ourselves. Everyone stays home. And it was there for a minute, like even in Florida, which is even hotter than where we are. And one of my favorite stories where there were like a couple of car wrecks from people who had gone like hunting for iguanas on the side of the road because apparently it's a delicacy.
Okay.
And it's one of those things where it's like, I mean, I'd try a nugget. I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean,
I've eaten some nuggets of different things in my time. I'll give it a go. I'm going to bet it's chewy and a bit chickeny just off the top of my head. Cause half the things that you try, they're like, oh, what's that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. But apparently it's really good. But the problem was they weren't dead. They were frozen. So they were falling off the trees. And people would mm-hmm. go pick them up, throw them in the back seat, and keep going. And then, like, once they warmed up in the car, they were, like, hopping on motherfucker's shoulders. And you'd be like, Ribbit, what's up? Gonna. Or whatever the fuck sound they make.
Ribbit.
I mean, it's hard to make a sound for, you know, but that, yeah. They were just hopping on people's shoulders and scaring the shit out of them. And they're swerving off the road with a car full of iguanas. God, I'd love footage. That's the great stuff that I would be on TikTok for, or TikTok for, if there were more.
TikTok. On TikTok. Yeah, congratulations, you're now an old man. Yeah, yes. Get on that TikTok there. They got on check out that them iguana. It's ribbiting at people, you know.
Yeah. I can just imagine that conversation. Grandpa, you ever watch this stuff? Yeah, I've had those before. Small round candies. Taste great. No, Dad. No. I like the orange.
Okay. So I guess we should get into the show, huh?
Shoot.
All right. Ribbit. So before we get to the news proper, got to thank the patrons. Thank you, patrons. You guys are awesome. Mm-hmm. I think we got a new patron. Let me see here. I'm pretty sure. I just forgot to put in the... Jack. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. And sorry, you weren't in the notes beforehand. We had to look you up.
I know. I'm just, well, I mean, if anyone's willing to, you know, throw down money for this show, they know who I am.
There's also
like, I'm not prepared.
We only pray you look upon Dave with indulgence.
All right. So $1 a month gets you every episode ad free. $5 a month gets you that, plus whatever else we decide to put up. This week, we put up a warm-up for episode 634. It was called The Jesus Gym. I thought it was a lot of fun. I listened back to it, and I'm sitting in here laughing. Yeah, so we had a lot of fun. We talk about the emotional dangers of painting your room and the comforts afforded by command strips and, you know, guys outside your window rapping about big dicks and money.
Right. Experiences we all know
and cherish, I'd say. Plus you get to find out how to steal old displays from Walmart, so that's a lot of fun
and profitable.
It can be if you do it right.
It's actually now that you said it, it might be the first monetizable advice we've ever given on the show,
possibly. And if you don't want to deal with Patreon, or if you already do and want to help us out a little more, you can pop over to dconscreen.com and click the donate button. You can go right next to that, to the store button. Gives you some DC On Screen merch. And if you don't want to pay anything, you can always leave us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts.
All very well.
I'm told it helps. I don't know.
Better than not.
Sure. That's what I've come to believe. All right, so they unveiled this new name for Warner Brothers and Discovery. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of people upset with it. Mm-hmm. It's called Warner Brothers Discovery.
I was gonna say, do we wait for the drum roll or
right? Like, what did they want it to be called?
I mean,
Warner Brothers, okay. Discovery, okay.
It felt to me like someone, like a back-end contract lawyer doing some paperwork, filled that in as like a placemaker. And everyone after that thought, for some reason, because the papers got on the wrong desk, that like, oh, that's what the name is now. We're going with it. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody was like, what is this? It's the Warner Brothers Discovery merger. Just scribbled it at the top, sent it to the wrong person, and here we are.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the least inspiring names I've ever heard. But now, here's my hot take on it.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
I'm not sure that's a hot take.
I know.
Or maybe it is. I don't know.
But here's why. And here's the thing. You remember when we didn't have to care about this kind of shit?
I do. Yeah.
Like, we didn't know which company was owned by every fucking streaming service and which one might have a internet provider that was about to buy them out and possibly merger with a freaking bakery somewhere that is going to now be in charge of Deadpool somehow or some shit. We mm-hmm. used to not know that shit because it didn't matter as much. We have gone through a series of events as as a people, as a group of fans that have put us in a certain place where now we're like hyper-vigilant about every detail because we feel like we need to be in order to protect ourselves. I mean, that's roughly why I think a lot of it's happening.
Right. Well, you know.
Like you can brace yourself for it. Like, oh, what's this going to be? Oh, great. Yeah, the title's terrible. It's probably still going to be an uninspired piece of shit. Okay, cool.
They should have just called it Pharaoh because I feel like that's what we're just wandering in the desert trying to get away from Pharaoh. Yeah. The way you said our people. I feel like are you saying that DC fans are the next like Jews or something? What's happening?
Oh, dear God, no. I'm saying we have, as a group of people who love a set,
right,
have been scarred by some decisions that were made by the people in charge. Now, to me, that's no different than saying that, you know, we're all employees at a certain company and our boss is a sack of shit.
Right.
That's roughly the analogy.
Almost assuredly true.
Yeah. Except, you know, we're paying them for the boss to be a sack of shit instead of the other way around, which I admit is not the capitalist model I was taught in school.
Yeah.
But somehow here we still are because enough money's coming out that, well, here we still are. And am I suggesting boycotting? Absolutely fucking not. No. Are you kidding me? That's stupid. We couldn't coordinate it well enough. That's the problem.
Right.
It's not that it wouldn't work. It's that we'd all have to actually do it. And it's no chance.
Well, they always learn the wrong lessons from that. Like, oh, people don't like edgy. No.
Oh, that's the other thing. It wouldn't, yeah, you'd have to bang their head against the wall to get them to understand the right thing. We could, literally, 7 million DC fans who could all get together with the same fucking black and white t-shirt with the same text with literally the exact same message on it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not say restore the Snyderverse because they seem so dead set against it. Let's say it's simple as
human decency.
Restore human decency, yeah. And not even something as much of an undertaking as like, you know, A greater than E or something like that. Like, let's say it's something real simple. Like, what's something real simple we could do? Like,
see, I don't think you could come up with that many DC fans who would be willing to wear a white shirt.
There's black on the shirt. I don't know.
No, I mean, they would
you
just
can wear whatever color shirt you want, just as long as the text is the same.
They wouldn't be able to agree on what the text should be.
I agree that would be a problem too. Like, I don't think we could pick one thing that many of us could all get behind at one moment. Like, I'm open to anything you've got, but I can't think of one. I was just trying to at the moment. In the moment, I'm blanking. Like, Man of Steel 2, fucking half of them don't want it.
Right.
Just another Suicide Squad. Well, I don't know. Release the air cut, maybe, but
no.
A lot of people would rather forget that it happened entirely, including whatever James Gunn's about to put out. Like,
Of them, we didn't get the Arrowverse Suicide Squad.
There's a whole freaking thing with that. Yeah, I genuinely don't know what you would pick that we could all get behind enough to even run the experiment. But if we found one simple message we were all behind, what if it was just as simple as like, you know, hashtag DC Studios or something? Like, you know, one thing we can agree on is y'all keep your fucking hands off our stuff.
I think I broke that. I haven't seen anyone else speak out against DC Studios, but this week on Twitter, I was like, you can call it DC Studios, you can call it collard greens and cornbread. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You're not going to get away from the executives.
I did see that in my voice. I heard, you can call it, what is that? Peach tea.
Ah, I didn't think about that.
But yes, even that is like, okay, well, great. You can, you know, you can put on sheep's clothing all you want, but I know who you are.
Yeah, I you know, I wasn't thinking of the peach tea when I wrote that either. I was thinking of Norm MacDonald and talking about how this woman being disgusted by how he's referring to sex, and she's like, I call it making love, and he's like, oh, I don't care what you call it. You can call it making grilled cheese as long as I get to stick my
I'll go by whatever name. I don't care. Seriously, I've been racking my brain the entire time we've been talking. I cannot come up with one single thing. I've run some experiments mentally. Like, Superman should be in a red and blue costume. No, not necessarily.
Yeah, no. You got that black and silver, man.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, that's a thing. I can't think of a thing you would say about Batman that many people would get behind on.
It would have to be so vague that everyone would just went, hell yeah, and they had a completely different thing in their head. It would have to be something like, Batman's, you know, supposed to be Batman. And everyone's like, yeah.
It's like a syllogism at this point. Like, Batman Batman's parents should die in the alley. Maybe that?
Sure.
It's kind of as close as I can think of, maybe. Like, Superman should roughly be from Krypton and have powers. I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to come up with. But even if we could
do it,
and it was in black and white on the shirt, everyone were reading the same thing, they would still somehow confuse the message. If it was Batman's parents should die in the alley, all of us doing it, they'd go, well, I mean, that's only the 7 million other people. And I feel like, you know, some of our focus groups have told us that what they really want is for, you know, him to cuddle his parents in the alley.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, keep him alive for a little while. You know, a nice, happier, rounder version of Batman.
Right.
Maybe does charity work on the side.
We understand there's a new version of Batman. Does his parents die in the alley? Okay.
Yeah. and then it'd be somebody like, almost unimpeachable. Like somebody like Neil Gaiman or something that would come up and say, like, I have this idea for Batman. So it starts with his parents dying in the alley. Oh, Neil, no. People don't want that. People don't want that at all. Like, well, okay, first of all, I'm Neil Gaiman, and I say what people want because I'm right. And two, did you see the guys with the t-shirts outside? They all fucking say Batman's parents down the alley. You didn't catch any of that? Nothing?
Those are, you know,
oh, you've got
vocal
a graph.
Minority you've got toxic a graph. Fans.
Oh, Jesus, who the fuck am I? I'm only Neil Gaiman. You have graphs. Someone in this office can use Excel. Holy Lord.
That is the loud minority group outside.
Yeah, just the vocal...
They're very toxic. We think Zack Snyder set them up to do it.
The same people are outside in t-shirts just offering cupcakes to the people, the employees that walk inside. Cupcakes and hugs. Batman's parents should die. These are terrible people. Don't trust them. They're awful.
Yeah.
Fucking blueberry cupcake. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So, yeah, what did you think of this, of the tagline for Warner Brothers Discovery, though? Is the stuff dreams are made of? I saw a lot of pushback on the internet there for that, and I was kind of surprised because it's, you know, kind of the classic, Sam Spade, Maltese Falcon thing, man.
Yeah.
It's the stuff dreams are made of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't placed it, but I know the phrase has been around for like, freaking ever.
Yeah, like that's, you know, I mean, you get what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, you put aside, you know, kind of what the symbolism for the Maltese Falcon was. Like, you don't want to say Warner Brothers Discovery is, you know, I don't know, insubstantial or something, but.
Yeah. Honestly,
they're trying to honor the past, I guess.
My first thought. Even reading that phrase was, all right, show me.
Yeah.
Put your money on the budgets where your mouth is.
Right. It's like, oh, it's the stuff dreams are made of. You know, Martin Luther King had a dream. You want to talk to Ray Fisher about that?
Yeah. I feel like you're picking and choosing whose dreams. Now, to be fair, you know, hey, that's a little bit of just how the game is played. Like, not everybody that writes a script gets to make it. I'm not saying the entire model is complete crap. Look, you've got to keep certain things in place. Like, not every script can be made. Not every script gets made the way people wanted. Hell, most of them don't get made even close. You know, money talks. There's stuff that's just almost immutable. But some of the basics, like the stuff dreams are made of. It's a useless-ass phrase.
It is.
It
can be.
It's, I don't know, man. Given the context of this entire rollout, it's just could have been an image of a flaccid dong. For all it mattered. just not doing shit. Also, going to have a real hard time making that look good in 2D.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was underwhelmed by it, but I was just like, okay. I don't know what we're supposed to do anyway, so I don't have a better idea. So.
Yeah, that was, I mean, yeah, like, if I'm asked to have an opinion on it, I have one, and it's kind of like, yeah, I don't care, but I still think our general approach should be like, listen, man, I don't know, it's new ownership, let's see where it goes. We used to not watch these things. We used to not care.
I know.
Maybe we can get back to that someday.
I doubt it.
I do too. I think we've hit a point.
Yeah, it's sort of, that Pandora's box has been opened.
Yeah. I wonder how far it can get, though, where they're like, eventually they're like hiring somebody and the entire internet's just like, did you see his blazer? I hate that color, you know?
Let's cancel him. I hope he dies.
Did you see his profile picture? It's awful. Like, I don't know, man. The guy's extremely qualified, and someone dressed him for that shot. Like, fucking give him a shot. Give him a chance.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
Back to
so we'll talk about this real quick, and only to point out, you know, there are all these rumors, continuing rumors from, I don't know, whoever. People. I don't know what these people's point or what their goal is here. The spreading of the rumors that Warner Brothers is firing Robert Pattinson, that they're reshooting most of the Batman. They fired Matt Reeves. Look, Matt Reeves is... He's not fired. He's working on a lot of shit right now.
He ain't going
now.
Anywhere, man. He's in the sandbox.
And Robert Pattinson signed a first deal look with Warner Brothers. It's a first look production deal, meaning that Warner Brothers will have the first chance at any projects Pattinson takes on as a producer. So that's going to cover theatrical. SVOD is going to cover television. It's going to cover HBO Max streaming. They're not upset with Robert Pattinson.
Well, all right.
They seem pleased, if I'm being honest.
I'm going to go with two very different takes. One, mm-hmm. they are well pleased with him.
Right.
And they've signed him on a first look
mm-hmm.
for anything he could produce. Okay. Probably dumb take is... I wonder if there was some way that they could get him to sign that without him really wanting to, so they could be like, listen, if you produce anything in the next couple of years, you got to go through us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as though he said something on set one day, I was like, I'm going to make this fucking movie about Batman doing this and blah, 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 blah. He's going to be a furry. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And they were like, listen, Robbie, could you sign this piece of paper real quick?
Oh, God.
And then Robert's like, listen, I'll sign it if I don't have to work out today. Deal.
Yeah, you're right. That is a dumb take. You called it, buddy.
I did call that one.
How to be right and wrong at the same time.
Lesson. Well, here's the beginning of my masterclass. That was the trailer.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm assuming you've seen the set pictures for the new Shazam costume.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice that much of a difference between the two, honestly. Between the first one and everyone's like, all these people are like out there comparing, like showing like the first Shazam costume and putting is equal to, you know, Tyler Hoechlin's Superman costume, second Shazam costume equal to Henry Cavill.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm like, yeah, this shit's not that deep. It all looks about the same to me.
All that shit bores me. The only thing that was only thing that stood out was, I think it's the bolt is very different, isn't it?
It is
white, kind of lit up. On the first one, this one feels like it's going to be kind of a matte gold situation,
yeah,
a little bit higher.
He did say that it's like it will light up when at times it's not going to stay lit.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, the other one looked a little more padded. This one's, you know, a little more svelte, I'll say, a little more
seems
rugged.
Like, you know, looking at the picture that I've seen, the big chest out picture, it seems like he's maybe had some time to fill the gap between the padding and the suit too.
Yep. It looks like it's hugging his contours, as they say.
He's a big boy.
That's a big boy.
These days. Chuck done grown. Part of me is not at all surprised because the suit doesn't look like it's, I never did get to the bottom at all of whether this was a, you know, off the cuff kind of Sandberg fucking with his figure, or if there was some truth to it. But I feel like there was maybe some truth to some of it. He at one point said that the suit cost $1 million per suit, and then you had to have a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a chunk of the budget was the fucking suit. And if there's any truth to that, and yeah, it's Sandberg, so maybe he's just fucking around. I don't know. It's really hard to tell when he's being serious. But it wouldn't surprise me if they went with a slightly more affordable version.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot for a suit, dude.
Well, you know, someone asked Zachary Levi if he still had to take off the whole costume to poop, and he was like, yep.
You got it.
Poor bastard.
They did not build a snappy button situation into the back of this thing.
So yeah, during Q&A, you know, we did find out that yes, the rest of the Shazamly is going to get, they're going to get new suits as well, new costumes, new designs. And did you saw this teaser clip that Sandberg posted where it was like just shots of like the new suit in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then it pulls out and
the wide shot's just him in the dark.
Yeah, he's like, why is it so dark?
Some glinting off the gauntlets, but that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably would have good. Probably would have been good to have one light on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. That's so much fun. That's so much fun.
Yeah.
And we've also gotten, since we haven't been doing a regular show on the news anyway, we saw what I can assume is, you know, Black Adam as, I don't know, his mortal self or in some sort of civilian capacity, like wearing robes and shit, you know. So they've been teasing that costume for a few weeks now. With like freaking Danny Garcia being like, it is a thing. I'm like, yeah, well, I assumed it was a thing.
I assumed he would have a costume. Movie if he's not getting a costume. He's going to have a costume. We understand.
Someone asked Sandberg if Black Adam is going to be in the in Shazam 2. And he says, no, he's getting his own movie.
Breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never guess who's starring.
This freaking Rock movie that we've been talking about since 2015.
Right.
Oh, my God.
That The Rock has been talking about since 1999.
Mm-hmm. The Rock has, yeah. By the way.
I mean, hey, look, man, give him credit. Him and Ryan Reynolds get some serious extra points for just like, they wanted this role. They fought like fucking banshees to get it.
If you haven't seen it, anyone out there, I don't want to get into a whole thing about it, but while we're talking about The Rock, there is a movie that's on Tubi TV right now. Roku's been advertising the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Snitch, and it's got The Rock, and it's got John Bernthal in it. And, you know, my wife put it on because she was like, oh, this will be a terrible movie. Like, they finally broke me down. I've been watching this for like a, you know, like 2 weeks, this thing. Coming up, and she thought it was going to be terrible, and we watched it. It was actually really, really good.
Oh, strange.
So, guys, go check out Snitch on Tubi TV. It's got freaking Black Adam and the Punisher.
Watch this movie on Checks Notes Tubi TV.
Dude, Tubi's awesome.
Okay.
It's a free streaming service. It's got, it just runs ads like a normal TV would, but they've got all kinds of TV and movies over there. It's interesting
indeed.
But they don't cut it for content.
Hmm.
They're not censoring anything. Over to the Flashpoint movie or the Flash.
All the fucks. That's what you're telling me.
Yes, they give all of them.
Yeah.
The Flash movie. Did you see Andy Muschietti posted the Michael Keaton suit with the blood on it?
Yeah, the bean juice photo.
The bean juice photo. All right. So, yeah, I've seen a lot of people like, oh, God, it's the same one as Keaton's. No, it's not. You can, first of all, you can tell it's not.
It's not.
It's
indicative.
It's indicative, but it is different from either Keaton suit that we've seen.
Yeah.
It looks a lot more like the Batman Returns suit. It doesn't have like the symbol tail flourish. It has the blocky separation between the pecs. But from what we can see, the bat symbol is heavily inlaid into the pectoral armor. And that's different.
It's slapped on the other ones, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, like someone designed the suit and went, what are we missing? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now there's fresh. I want to say there's fresh blood on it.
Yeah.
Which is obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making some people talk about like it. Wonder if they're doing a version of Doomsday Clock.
Mm-hmm.
Like if that's what they're hinting at because it's indicative of the blood on the Watchmen smiley button.
Right.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be the very interested. Wouldn't it be cool if Billy Crudup wasn't playing Flash's dad because he's playing Dr. Manhattan?
Oh, fuck yes. Fuck yes. He's all CGI anyway. He didn't have to get in shape at all. Just round him out. It'd be fine.
But, you know, one interesting thing I've noticed, though, and it's a shame because everyone is so, so excited about this, about Keaton's Batman returning. But when you look at the press that Warner Brothers put out and then you look at the picture, WB has been oddly stringent about saying that Michael Keaton is back as Bruce Wayne. They have stressed Bruce Wayne several times.
Right.
And now we get this picture.
Mm-hmm.
This bat suit is scratched. It's dinged up. It's covered in dried blood, smeared old blood, and most importantly, thick ass layers of dust.
Mm-hmm.
That suit's been hung up for quite a while, yo. Quite a while.
It I mean, that logo in the bat symbol in particular on this one, just, man, it, how do you not think about your childhood looking at it? Like the super rounded kind of symmetrical.
Oh yeah.
What do you even call that? The last wing of the cape slash wings or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just, oof.
It is. Like, it's extremely iconic.
I do love about the Bat and Superman and Wonder Woman, like a lot of their symbols, those three in particular, you can redesign their symbols to kind of, you still get the basic theme, but you can give your own take on it, and it's fantastic. I love that part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, part of me wonders, though, if this isn't Michael Keaton showing up as Bruce just long enough to get killed. Maybe that's his blood just slashed across that uniform.
Oh, could easily be.
Man, that would suck.
Yeah. I mean, the entire scene is him, like, in a dark something or other, takes off his glasses, you hear, and then there's, like, a slit throat, and he's gone. 4 seconds of footage, bouncing to the next scene. Some multiversal chaos.
You know, I feel like there's, it's like Andy Muschietti calls up Zack Snyder and goes, I was thinking about something. What do you think about this? And Zack goes, yeah, no, how about this? This will really piss him off. Just, instead of having Michael Keaton's Batman in the whole movie, just slit his throat within 5 seconds of him being in the movie.
Yeah, more footage of him dying over the 8 seconds total than of him being alive.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't know. They wouldn't let me have my Green Lantern.
I mean, that'd be a way to go. I mean, you could see, like, in 5-6 years from now, an interview with Grant Morrison, like, why didn't they want to make your version of the film? It's, because I let everyone live.
Mm-hmm.
Except Damian. Killed him. Killed him dead.
Yep.
4 different versions.
Like Warner Brothers. It'd be really funny if Warner Brothers' secret little idea was just to have, like, okay, here's, you have to kill everyone. Kill everyone that we're not dealing with any of this bullshit anymore.
Oh, that would be nice. Yeah, just go scorched earth with it. Like, all right, you want everybody? Cool, you can have everybody. We'll get every version of everybody. That's fantastic. We're going to have Stephen Amell on this motherfucker. I don't care. We're going to kill them all.
Stephen Amell is already. Kill him.
Kill him. Kill him in his afterlife. Don't care.
Did you see this picture of Sasha Calle, the girl playing Supergirl, that everyone's freaking out about?
I did not.
She.
I got a phone, though. You can keep talking.
Basically, she unveiled a new haircut.
Mm-hmm.
And people are losing their shit over it. And I can send it to you here. I've got it pulled up right here.
Oh, no. The search results are pretty clear. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I know what it looks like. I think this is going to be female version of Clark, though. I don't think it's going to be Steve Siegel's Cyril, who is the,
I see the,
you know, yeah. Everyone's like, oh my God, it's going to be like Superman's daughter. It turns out to be like the girl genetically manipulated by Brainiac. And I'm like, it's not going to be that, y'all.
I have a one word question. Wig?
Well, we don't know what happened to Kristen Wiig. she was just kind of hanging out by that mountain. She wasn't a cat anymore.
We don't really know where she is in the story at this point. I get that. You foil you. Yeah, like.
Oh, so are you saying that she's going to be wearing a wig as Supergirl and that this is just like.
I'm just throwing it out there. That's really, that's pretty short hair.
That's interesting. Well, I mean, Cyril, the Superman's daughter, quote unquote, from that run, had really short hair, just like this.
Fine, yeah, great.
And that's why people are saying that. And we know that she's playing Supergirl.
It's fine,
but
I don't care if she's Supergirl with that style of hair. I'm just saying, you know, even then, like, well, one, who cares? And two, wig. Like,
right.
It could easily be that.
It could be. It could be she just cut her hair short so she could wear a blonde wig. God, that would be weird.
Swear, it's like the catchphrase for our show should be just calm down.
Yeah, we're
like, pretty... I'm not saying don't be passionate, man. I get it. I respect right. it.
Just calm I know. Down. I'm saying just... don't be passionate. Yeah. I'm done with passionate.
Dave's gone to the other side. He's saying be dead inside. Nothing matters. Yeah. It's all.
Yeah, kind of.
It's well, all subjectively nonsense. Fucking it is. Down.
It is, because you know what's going to happen is like you people. Be, oh my God, it's Sirel, and this was where I started reading. And they're not doing that. I can tell you with like 98% certainty.
It may not be what you wanted. That's fine. It may be what you wanted. That's great too. You'll be all right. You're going to wake up tomorrow. I promise. Well, I don't promise that. That's stupid. You probably will.
That's terrible. Like,
overwhelming odds. Short of medical condition, you're probably going to wake up.
We actually have an audience big enough that statistically someone is going to listen to this show and not wake up the next day.
Could be me. We don't know.
I mean, numbers are pointing my way, but. I'm just saying, I think it's a lot closer of a chance that this is an alternate universe version of Clark. And she's just not male this time around. I think it's much closer to being that than it is being this random ass version of Supergirl that existed for all of 6 months in the comics before, surprise, she wasn't real.
I don't know. It could be coin toss. Like, yeah, the one would be a neat take. I'd be happy to see, like, alternate universe Supergirl. Cool. Bring it on. On the other hand, mm-hmm. I could see the production in general being like, hey, listen, I got a deep cut. People are going to respect this. And then what they're going to find out is, as we discussed earlier, the people respect nothing.
No. People respect nothing.
Like, there will be like 20 people who are like, oh, man, nice pull. Good job. And the rest of them, that's not who I was expecting.
Yeah.
But, you know, well, not the rest of them. It's a curve. Like, most of the people in the middle just like, I don't know, man, I'll watch it. Oh, cool. It was good.
I mean, yeah, I'll watch it. I'll watch it no matter what. Like, they can come out tomorrow and tell me, like, yeah, we're doing total, like, Siegel McDaniel run Sirel. All mm-hmm. right, I guess.
Yeah.
You know how, like, adults used to do the thing where you make a choice and they're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
If Warner Brothers came to me and said, by the way, we heard your episode of DC on Screen. You're completely wrong. It's Sirel. And I'd be like, okay.
You remember how in that episode, thank you for listening, that we were talking about how that might be a poor idea.
Like, well, I'll tell you.
And hey,
I have that entire run in this office, and it's not very good.
I feel like if I ever got face to face with a Warner Brother executive, I would immediately find some rope, tie them down, and be like, I don't have long. I need to say some stuff.
Yep.
I'm sure the cops will be here soon. I'll face my time. I got this. Listen, here's some stuff I need you to know.
Oh, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Tell my family I love them. I'm out.
All right. speaking of one of those okay moments, Joker 2, Todd Phillips is reportedly back to co-write the script. For Joker, I don't care about this. I mean, I'll watch it. Maybe it'll be great, like I thought the first one was. Even though it's a good movie, I'm still going, I didn't need it.
Well, I mean, you don't need any of these things in certain ways, but like, it's one of those movies where I've watched it again like one time in a few pieces and still enjoyed it. Still think it's a borderline masterpiece, but in a certain type of way, not.
It's also a borderline masturbate.
Don't you dare.
I dared.
I don't know how many people's fetishes would be Joaquin Phoenix and body horror. Probably somebody.
Well, at least
there's
two.
There's got to be a Venn diagram. There's a Venn diagram for anything, right?
I would assume.
But we had this opinion of the first movie. It's like, listen, I don't care. The people attached could be interesting. I don't know how this is going to go. Let's see. And then we watched the movie. Yep. And we're like, this is actually pretty fun. This is actually great.
Yeah.
We could go down that road again. My caution would be like, man, you took some real shots with this movie and they paid off. But the same people that want this sequel are going to want you to take more shots. And I wish you mm-hmm. luck.
Yeah. It's one of those where, like, yeah, I would have liked this movie if it was just an independent movie. I didn't need it to be Joker.
Of effectively was in a lot of ways.
It was. It was absolutely an independent movie that just said had the name Joker on it. And
thematically, had a lot to do with the character. And that's fine.
Yeah. Had nothing to do with the comics. Had nothing to do with Batman, really.
Right.
Except for, like, the weird throw-in with Bruce Wayne at the end. Like, okay, cool. I guess.
That name is in universe somewhere. But
yeah. So, I mean, I don't give a shit. Like, you... I know what you did, Todd Phillips. You pitched a thing to get your independent movie made.
And you know what? Said, hey, well played, sir. Well played.
Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, and that's fine. I'll watch it, all this stuff. I like all this stuff being made and being able to see it. I just kind of don't care right now. We'll see what happens. This writer, Emerald Fennell, says she wants to make her Zatanna story or movie big and scary. There are lots of things about her that felt like they could be really, really interesting, she told Empire Magazine. She says, and it'll be an opportunity to make something really quite dark. And that appealed to me, to make something big and scary. I love that stuff.
Cool.
Maybe that's why it's heading directly to Warner Media. I mean, to not Warner Media.
Max.
HBO Max, I assume. I assume. That's where a lot of these lower level IPs are heading, like Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
There was the Los Angeles Times article that came out and they said that Blue Beetle was heading to HBO Max along with Batgirl, and everyone's upset about this. Everyone on my timeline is upset about this.
I saw a lot of upsetness on mine too.
It deserves to be on the big screen. Blah, blah. I'm like, okay, look, this is going to be one of those times, one of those rare times where I actually agree with Toby Emmerich. Because he came out, he said he was in this article, and he said HBO Max presents a huge opportunity for DC. It allows us to make high quality mid budget superhero movies that reintroduce lesser known DC titles while also crossing over standout characters from our bigger films into original series. Connecting the DC Cinematic Universe with Max gives our fans more ways to explore the DC multiverse and more chances to enjoy more great stories with these beloved characters.
I agree. I need follow through,
guys,
though, Toby.
Look, that statement on its own, I agree with.
Yeah, but that's what we were told last year. You know, and
Jaime Reyes is not going to bring in $1 billion.
Possibly no one, not.
The name Blue Beetle sounds stupid. As a diehard DC fan, as a fan of Jaime Reyes, as a fan of the original Blue Beetle and his subs and the subsequent, you know, I love Dan Garrett. I love Ted Kord. I love Jaime Reyes. Blue Beetle sounds dumb as shit.
Now,
on his face.
I love it. I've got two on the wall here. Fantastic. Lynn Wayans.
I mean,
freaking number one from Lynn Wayne, even. Like Lynn Wayne. But
yeah,
it's, I love the character. I want the best from it. Here's my only thing with it. On the one hand, for sure, like the people mm-hmm. who were saying, like, you know, we're finally going to get a Hispanic character some real time and he should get the big screen. I absolutely understand what you're saying.
Yep.
As much as I can. But I'm suggesting that the big screen as a concept is no longer fucking relevant, and that this actually maybe the best thing that could have happened for that character and that instantiation of the character.
And, you know, we've got Momoa coming out and being like, oh, absolutely, Aquaman 2 is coming out in theaters. Yeah, it made $1 billion.
Yeah, and also theaters will be back by the time you get that fucking movie made.
Yep.
Like, it, very different time. I mean, shit, like, Aquaman 2 is, dear God, I don't even think they've...
But we were already at a saturation point in the theaters anyway, where, like, you could not put a movie... We were literally last year saying, well, Shazam could have done better, but where the hell would they put it? They couldn't put it here because
Birds of
Phoenix.
Had the same problem.
Put it here.
Wonder Woman
because of this.
Had the same problem.
Put it here because Marvel has, you know,
this
their
weekend.
Blocks.
And Disney has this
put
weekend.
Out.
And, well,
we're
back when those
already
were different.
At that saturation point. There's nowhere to go but streaming exclusively.
Yeah.
They want exclusive content for their streaming service. Guess what? Go to Walmart, plunk down your $700, get you a big screen. It's time to be over this big silver screen bullshit. Leave that shit for Batman and Superman and Aquaman. I never thought I'd say that. Leave Wonder Woman.
Not a groupie I expected to pull up, but here we are.
The big wigs get to stay on the big screen. You put all the smaller shit on streaming.
I think we're at a point where this is, and God, I know people don't want to hear this, and I'm sorry, but I think it's true, and we've talked about it for years now at this point. We're at a point where I think there is going to be a transition, a real one, not just a cord cutters they used to call us. That's no longer what people are thinking. We are not called cord cutters anymore. When's the last time you heard that fucking term?
I said it like 3 days ago, but I get you.
When's the last time you heard that term from an industry executive who was actually considering their bottom line? Like, it's not a matter of trying to keep these people on the leash anymore and you know, channel them and feed them into the right venues so that you get the maximum amount of money. You know, during my lifetime, we basically used computers and then the internet to tell people to fuck themselves as industries. Like, I was part of the pirating movement. You know, in my defense, like, part of it was because, like, you would spend $18 for the, like, you'd get one night to go to whatever your vendor was for this, whoever was selling CDs, and you'd get 11 tracks for $18 and no liner notes. And after a while, you're like, man, listen, my return on investment for this $18 is, first of all, it started at 12 and has now gone to 18. And that's insane because it's been like 4 years.
Yep.
And then second, what you're actually giving me at this point is like two singles and then whatever the fuck that artist decided they wanted to spit out afterwards. And you were like, print it, send it on its way. Like, you could pick and choose the ones that were actually putting real thought into their albums anymore. But like, anyway, point was the market got to a point where you're like, listen, I'm not paying for that. So we started pirating everything because the technology caught up at the same time. It changes. It changed back at this point because now everyone has a streaming service because the industry caught up. And listen, I know any kind of fucking recording artist whatsoever is yelling at me right now because you're not getting a fair cut. And I agree. But the market has twisted a little bit. So the market can change like that. We're at another point where I think the market's going to do this kind of shit again. Like, we're not paying for that experience. I'm not taking my family for $200 to the theater where I have to act and perform a certain way at a certain time, specifically at that time, to be able to enjoy the thing at that time. And then I'm actually betting on everybody in that theater obeying the same rules so that I can even fucking enjoy it. Are you kidding me? I can sit at home with my family with a pause button. Make this shit happen.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to sell every single time. I mean, the big screen experience isn't dead, but it's going to change hard. And it's kind of already started, and COVID gave the entire change a fucking steroid shot. So here we are. Here's the new real. This is the new deal, as you would call it. It's focusing on who gets to go to the big screen and who gets to go to the small screen at this point, or streaming or whatever, is going to be an irrelevant conversation in like 2 years. It's going to be a conversation we forget that we even had.
Yeah. And, you know, people trying to make value assessments based on what went to theater and what went to HBO Max or whatever is
old school thinking.
Silly.
Like, it's literally old school.
It's silly.
It's the same thinking as the network execs who were like, well, you know, I'm not sure, you know, that this guy's a TV actor. I'm not sure he'd fit on the big screen. Go fuck yourself. That's a stupid fucking pigeonholing thing to do to actor. That's a weird stereotype to put on things. Yeah. Like,
the important thing is that, you know, Blue Beetle is not a proven IP.
Oh, yeah. I know. For sure.
You think they're going to do another Birds of Prey in theater? No, they're going to put that shit on HBO Max. Yeah, but
when we're talking about like movies, actual movies being made, neither was Iron Man, neither was Deadpool. Like, when you talk about, neither was the Hulk. I mean, like, it had a nice TV show back in the day, but it was, at this point, seen as a little bit gauche and kind of Batman 66-ish. Yes,
but you know what? I think, and I will state this, if this was happening right now, if everything was pushed up to now, Marvel would not have put Iron Man out in theaters. They would have put that shit out on Disney Plus.
Oh, I think maybe. Yeah, for sure.
Hulk may have gotten a theatrical.
I'll tell you, I mean.
May have.
For them, it's a little different for them because they've got such an engine built with the MCU that now they can, I mean, you know, short of literally not having the theaters open, they were able to just put out next one, next one, next one. And, you know, they didn't always make $1 billion, but some of them really did, like genuinely did. Yeah. And a couple of them, too.
And, you know, and it got to the point now where, because you know, oh, Avengers made $1 billion and Iron Man 3 made $1 billion. Now suddenly, if something doesn't make $1 billion, it's flop.
Crap. Yeah. How dare Ant-Man pretend to exist? It only made $500 million. Like,
BBS didn't, it was a total flop. It only made $900 million.
Yeah, it didn't quite broach.
And I remember Kevin Smith saying it was going to make $2 billion. Oh, well, excuse me.
And then again, our people in the t-shirts are arguing, well, it would have if they had, God damn it. Guys, can we stay on the same page for a minute?
I'm so sorry the movie didn't live up to Kevin Smith's boisterous hyperbole.
I mean, dude, I love Kevin Smith, but he is a hype man, dude. And that's an admirable quality. I do not have it.
I enjoy Kevin Smith. I like him quite a bit.
But you wouldn't go to him for a bank loan, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same kind of person that you go to for this sort of activity.
Anyway.
Hey, man, how should I execute my estate? I'm going to go see somebody else. Like, different strokes, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, point being, like, fucking, yeah, I get wanting the exposure, but I honestly think this may be better for it. And I'm also not saying that, for sure not saying that there was any instinct on Warner Brothers' side to do that for the same reason that I'm thinking. I'm actually supposing that they probably put it on the small screen because, we're going to use that term, I guess, for now, because they just didn't think they'd be able to mount it there and didn't think the numbers would work because they're still old school motherfuckers and are doing some backwards shit. Like,
yeah, maybe. Or they might have just been looking at the schedule and going, look, man, there are less theaters.
There's that.
There are less theaters. We don't have the slots. Like, everything's full.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I think because I'm seeing the bright side of slowly coming back. Decision.
You've got to give movies time to breathe now.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's another thing we used to talk about was like, does it have legs? You know, what are we going to look at the box office numbers next week? Oh, man, look at the drop on that. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, God, that was a 50% instead of like a 30% drop like we were hoping. And, you know, that's disastrous. And, yeah. A lot of those conversations are still relevant in terms of viewership, for sure. Like, how many people watched Snyder Cut next weekend? I mean, granted, it's hard to fit 4 hours into every weekend, but how many people watched the next weekend or at least like clicked through a few times after that? Like, all that still matters.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's harder to measure now because, you know, at least there were box office metrics. There aren't really streaming metrics.
Right.
And I doubt there will be for a very long time. I mean,
they have something that they're looking at, but
it's going to be hard to mount, man. It's going to be very difficult. Like, you're literally tracking IP addresses, some with VPNs, some in different, showing in different categories. Like, you know how the Nielsen system is basically, do you have the little box in your house that watches what you watch? Okay, well then you're in the Nielsen system. And otherwise, the ratings are people that weren't you. Like, it doesn't matter that you watched that show because the little box used to just report back.
Yeah.
But, you know, people would be like, well, I watch that show every week. I don't understand the ratings. Well, because no one cared about what you watched every week. You weren't being tracked. Like, that's still going to be true. And that's the reason Nielsen eventually kind of had to take on some version of just, you know, the survey style of, well, what did you watch? What did we not catch? And I just feel like it's going to eventually end up being survey style again. Just a bunch of people clicking through like, well, what are you watching? Have you seen this show in the last 2 months? Have you seen this show in the last 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
Which show did you watch in the first week of its premiere?
Oh, God. All right. Did you see the little teaser they put out for the League of Super Pets?
I did.
I'm not mad at the John Williams theme.
I will never be mad at that theme.
Yeah, people are all upset. I'm like, you're okay. First of all, you're bitching that this is a Super Pets show or a movie. And, you know, you don't want to see that because that's for kids. Yeah, it's for kids. Shut up.
There's no version. No version of things where I'm going to be mad at hearing that about a show that's – or Super Pets. Like you said, man. Fuck.
Right. There's – I don't know. There are very few things. I won't say nothing. But there are very few things in this life, you know, less attractive – than a 40-year-old man sulking because they put money into making a Crypto the Super Dog movie for children. What are you doing, man?
My daughter's a little over 2.5. Do you know how excited I am about this movie?
Oh, I'm not, dude, I don't even have a kid.
I would still be excited. For sure.
I'm so excited. Dude, okay. We got The Rock as freaking Crypto.
Crypto, yeah.
And what was it? Kevin Hart as Ace the Bat Hound?
Yep.
And flipping John Krasinski's in this thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they didn't announce who they were playing. It was just the list of people.
Right. John Krasinski's in it. Mm-hmm. Kate McKinnon. Mm-hmm. Vanessa Bayer. Uh-huh. Natasha Lyonne. Yeah. Diego Luna. Absolutely. And Keanu Reeves.
And then, yeah, and then they pull up Keanu. Like, they give you that cast, and then they're like, oh, and Keanu Reeves. You're like, you got to be fucking kidding me. How did you do that?
You're telling me you're not interested to see what these guys do with the League of Super...
Dude, if this was a radio serial, I would tune in. If I had to find a receiver to pick up AM radio again, I think I have a weather radio somewhere in this fucking house, and I would sit down by it, and me and the daughter would listen to it.
Yeah. Like, hell yeah, I'm going to watch this.
I will be watching the absolute hell out of this movie.
Though, you know, full disclosure, I enjoyed the cartoon, the Crypto cartoon that they did several years ago.
The Paul Dini one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I've
been meaning to watch that for a long time. That's another one I can indoctrinate the child with.
Yeah, you can.
Mm-hmm. I need to put that and Justice League Action where I'm a list of like, I'm just going to sneak in this episode in between episodes of this and see how she does.
That's right. All right. Let's get to some, you know, sort of older fare, but we haven't talked about it. Zack Snyder says he still hasn't heard from HBO Max about Justice League.
Yeah.
in terms of their numbers. He was talking to Tyrone Magnus over on YouTube, and he says, I haven't heard from them at all after I released the movie. I haven't gotten a phone call. It's been radio silence. And he said the only communication was, you know, Anne's article after the movie was released, but that wasn't directly to me. That was to the people. So I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, let's see what happens with Discovery. And that's cool. Who knows? All I know is that as of yesterday, Justice League was number one in the UK again, so.
And then he promptly dropped the mic, turned around, showed his ass to camera, and strolled out with a middle finger over his shoulder, I assume?
One would hope.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. Yeah.
It would have been appropriate, is all I'm saying.
Did you see the
maybe he had a music cue up, you know?
Did you see the Suck at Warner Brothers thing that he did on...
I did, the Stephen the Colbert thing?
Yes, yeah, Stephen Colbert,
that was fantastic. I watched every second of that.
He's like, I didn't say that. That's Stephen's words. But yeah, Suck at Warner Brothers.
I honestly enjoyed the running bit about like, yeah, I bled a lot that day.
Yeah,
here's Stephen Ketch. I did not know he was going to throw the knife.
Hmm.
It was a good bit, man. It was a good bit.
And John DJ Desjardins was on a show that I will not say the name of because I can't stand that person.
Ah.
Well, now I kind of feel like I have to. Beyond the trailer. oh, graceless Randolph.
Yeah.
And Jordan said, it's funny. The Flash time travel bit was always in the story. We shot that way back in 2016. It was something that, I don't know what it was, the mood of the studio at the time. They just didn't get it, to be honest. They were just like, I don't understand this. And maybe it was the previous nature of it or the post-viz nature or whatever. But it was one of the first things they threw out after they pulled Zach off the movie. They just didn't. How, what's there to understand?
I don't know. It's like they were I mean, we understood the punching each other, but this is a bit confounding. Me and bamboozled.
Let's see, there is a rally thing that they're doing. I don't know why I can't figure out what it's called, but it's the Joel Schumacher lobbying. We're trying to get the I'm not involved in it. On Wednesday, June 16th, fans are going to be lobbying for a release of Joel Schumacher's initial cut of Batman Forever. And it is going to be 10 a.m. Eastern time. And you can follow at Cut Schumacher on Twitter for updates. And, you know, be a part of that. You know, I don't know what they're tweeting, if they're tweeting release the Schumacher cut or what. If I see the hashtags, I'll probably throw one out there. I'm not going to devote my whole day to it.
Yeah, it is one of those things where, like, I will participate. I will hope for the best. I'm not taking a day off work.
Yeah, no, I'm not. You know, no. Akiva Goldsman was recently talking about it, though. He says, I got to see it recently, the very first cut. It was referred to as Preview Cut 1, and it was really dark. It was a pretty psychological exploration of guilt and shame.
Nice.
I would love to see that.
Yes.
Love to see.
Deeply interested HBO already, Max. Actually.
Make it happen. Again,
right, I may own my participation. I hadn't heard that description yet.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's released the Schumacher cut.
You're right.
And, yeah, so if you want to throw out a couple of those, and it's Wednesday, June 16th, 10 a.m. Eastern time. And I guess it's going for the rest of that day, but,
I mean, I still can't take off work, but I'll do what I can.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'll be Wednesday, so I'll probably be prepping for this show.
that's fair, too, yeah.
And periodically just being like, yeah, release the Schumacher cut.
Yeah,
man, we've been doing this for about an hour. You want to go take a piss?
We can do that.
All right, and there'll be more words that we can't control that you can hear, and then we'll come right back, and we're talking about some television news. So stay tuned, or skip ahead 30, or whatever it is.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, we are back. We have urinated, and advertisers have
urinated
from their mouths. Anyway, yeah.
Peacemaker. I thought it was graphic enough before, and then you started to dig a hole and couldn't get out of it. So you're like, let's just bail. And now I'm just not letting you bail.
Yeah. I was just like, yeah, that's even worse. No, don't.
Yeah.
Peacemaker.
As a peace offering. Uh-huh. So Peacemaker.
Bridgerton's Freddie Stroma has replaced Chris Conrad as Vigilante in the Peacemaker series on HBO Max. Stroma was Prince Frederick in Shonda Rhimes' Bridgerton for Netflix, a show I do not watch. And race car driver Jake Martin in the streaming comedy The Crew, also a show I did not watch. But yeah, he's playing like Adrian Chase, freaking Vigilante proper, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy, Chris Conrad, left the role amicably due to creative differences, according to this report. So, well, that's nice. I'm glad that they just said, you know what, this isn't working out, and let me step aside as a proper young gentleman. And
I want to be like, yeah, really, it's still possible. That's cool. I'm glad that worked amicably. But again, at this point in our lives, the moment you think that, we're going to hear a report in a week like, you know, they whipped me with a cat of nine tails daily.
Right. Yeah.
I had to leave after they wouldn't pay for the medical bills to repair my back.
Right. Like, fuck. James Gunn walked into a room and this other just dude, shot this him. Chris Conn. This Chris Conrad was just sitting there looking at like kiddie porn, and James Gunn was like, shit, dude, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, this is.
Yeah.
Whatever happened. I don't know.
But
no idea.
Yeah. No idea. I hope it was as stated.
Yeah, no, I hope it was just like, how do you, well, I've left amicably due to creative differences.
Mm-hmm. I have as well.
So, you know.
It's possible. People do it. There's a reason it's a phrase it people is. Accept as like a theoretical end to a meeting of some kind. But
it is, you know, you don't get out of it without some kind of sore feelings, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, it's like anything. You know, I have this ongoing theory. It's an ongoing postulate that I feel like is very provable. Anytime two people disagree, 99% of the time, both of you did something.
Yeah.
Now, not saying morally, I'm saying something to get yourself into the situation. So, yeah, there's always something, man. There's just always something. Like, there's always something that either person could have done better to have smoothed it over. But, yeah, is it on then? Mm-hmm. Fucking probably not. So,
Jeremy Irvine has confirmed that he is playing Alan Scott in the Green Lantern HBO Max series.
Good.
Doom Patrol just finished filming season 3.
Also good.
Over on the Sandman Netflix series, they have added Patton Oswalt, Kirby Howell Baptiste, Jenna Coleman. They've added, Mason Alexander Park as Desire. Now, Kirby Howell Baptiste, she's playing Death. And Donna Preston is Despair, Dream Sister, and the Twin of Desire. Jenna Coleman is playing Joanna Constantine, like the great-great-great-great-grandmother of John Constantine. And it looks like she's going to be in the story, basically taking the place of John Constantine, though still not playing. They're not doing like a gender bender version of this. This is just like, hey, we're going to have her in the past, and wouldn't it be cool if we had her in the future kind of taking over for John?
More like a role displacement kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. There isn't a thing I wouldn't watch her do. And that sounded way worse than it should have. There's nothing.
I think it sounded exactly as you meant it.
There's not a role I will not watch her in. It still sounds bad. I'm not going to make this better.
No. Especially when we both know what you really think and mean.
It's not even really what I was thinking and meaning right then, but apparently it was on my heart because I did think of that afterwards.
Yep. And the Lord did not lay that on your heart, my friend.
I was created as I am, God damn it.
That's the devil's work. It's bad hoodoo.
Genuinely fantastic actress, and I will watch her play whatever.
Yeah, no, she's great.
Also, what the fuck is Patton Oswalt supposed to do? I mean, don't get me wrong, happy to see him. I love him as an actor and a comedian, obviously.
Oh. Matthew the Raven. Dream's trusted emissary.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. I feel like he got into this role by basically leaving 13 consecutive voicemails on Neil Gaiman's phone that he somehow got a hold of that were just like, please, 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 like, till the tape ran out.
Right.
Please, 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 please. And then the last one was like, I'm sorry, I ran out of tape. Please let me play this. Please let me play a role. I want to be in this.
I mean, maybe.
And I'm not knocking him for that.
No.
Happy to see him here. Respect him for doing it.
We have Niam Walsh as the young Ethel Cripps, a betrayed and determined young woman seeking to survive. We have Jolie Richardson as Ethel Cripps, master thief and woman of a thousand identities. David Thewlis, freaking Ares himself, is John D., Ethel's son, dangerous, insane, and on a quest for truth. And
he'll be CGI in the third act.
And for The Doll's House, the second big Sandman storyline, we have Kaio Ra as Rose Walker, a young woman on a desperate search for her missing brother. Stephen Fry as Gilbert, debonair protector of Rose Walker.
Jesus.
Razan Jamal as Lyda Hall, Rose's best friend and travel companion. Sandra James Young as Unity Kincaid, heiress and mysterious benefactor. And, of course, Patton Oswalt as Matthew the Raven.
Okay. I was joking before about people calling Neil Gaiman's cell phone, but...
I mean...
Stephen Fry, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, surely those are people that actually talk.
And, you know, if you've been on social media or you're in the Sandman fan groups or whatever, you've seen the people complaining that, you know, Death is a black lady now or bullshit about people being the wrong, whatever. Look.
Dude, these are all fucking the end of Neil Gaiman's head. And...
Mm-hmm.
all entities, not real things. Are you kidding?
Well, you know, first of all, Neil Gaiman wanted to do this as in, like, how would this be in, you know, current day? How would he have created it this way,
right,
in this time? But, you know, someone, this idiot on, I don't even say his name, on Twitter says, responded to Neil Gaiman and said, "Why sell out? Just stand by your work, or do you lack the intestinal fortitude? It irks me more that you don't, that you just don't even give a fuck." And Neil Gaiman responded.
Intestinal fortitude?
Yeah.
Not testicular.
Right.
I just want to make sure we were in one realm and not quoting The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Neil Gaiman responded and says, "I give all the fucks about the work. I spent 30 years successfully battling bad movies of Sandman. I give zero fucks about people who don't understand or haven't read Sandman, whining about a non-binary desire or that death isn't wide enough. Watch the show. Make up your minds."
Yeah, that sounds right.
And by the way, he does say that the first season will cover the first two graphic novels, Preludes and Nocturnes and The Doll's House. That's the first 16 issues of the 75-issue original series. I have the whole set over here. I have got to get to it because I read probably the first two or three graphic novels when I was in college. And I don't remember a lot of it. I remember liking it a lot, but also was very, very stoned.
Ah.
And
that will... It's funny, though. At the time you're reading it when you're stoned, reading something that as surreal as that, you fully grasp mm-hmm. it. And you probably kind of do, but it doesn't get to your long-term memory from your short and working-term memory.
Right.
So, like, I just you read it, and you're thinking, like, oh, this is fantastic. And then later you're like, what happened? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I remember thinking, holy shit, this is amazing. But, you know, nothing but lavender and burgundy and them brain cells.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have to look back over it. Did you see you I sent you this sneak peek video that Netflix released where freaking Neil Gaiman's just like
gawking.
Gushing yeah. over the like physical incarnation, like the representation of the Undercroft, like all of that shit looks so cool.
Oh, yeah.
To me.
No, they're killing it over there on the design team.
I was just like, oh my lord, they're doing it. How are you going? Okay, I know that Netflix has had this deal in the works for quite a while, but I'm like, how much do you think Warner Brothers is kicking themselves for being like, no, we're not going to put The Sandman on HBO Max, even though we own that property?
Pretty hard. Like, enough that it will eventually be on HBO Max for streaming purposes.
Oh, sure. Maybe. Or it might be just on Netflix forever because it's a Netflix original.
It is a Netflix original, but I believe most of how they have things structured is they borrow properties enough to make the product and then it reverts back.
Maybe.
I'm just going to...
Maybe the rights would, but not necessarily the show. Like, I don't think, you know, Daredevil and all that shit's going to go over to Disney+. I think it's going to stay on HBO Max.
Actually, that's a good point. Re-air is different. Yeah, the rights will go back, but that's a good point. I'm not sure about re-air.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they strike different deals with every company.
I mean, yeah, kind of. They're going to want to centralize how they do things, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's fair.
I haven't seen Veep yet. Have you? Have you seen Veep?
Like
the Julia Louis-Dreyfus show?
Only snippets that I've walked through when the wife was watching, and it looks fantastic.
It does. You know, it's from the same showrunner. The creator and showrunner is the same guy that did The Thick of It.
Yes, I have heard that.
And it is in the same universe.
I did not know that it was in the same universe. That's fantastic.
That's what I've come to understand, yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, about to give the wife a new show.
Right. Yeah, I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I love Tony Hale. I mean, I love The Thick of It, so I'm kind of going to have to give this a shot at some point. Mm-hmm. But Sam Richardson.
I was going to say, but how did we get here?
Sam Richardson from Veep is apparently going to be in an undisclosed role in Harley Quinn season 3. And Harley Quinn showrunner Patrick Shoemaker is very excited about it.
All right.
So I just thought I'd throw that out there. If Patrick's excited, I guess I'm going to be too.
I mean, I suppose we have their choice. I mean, it's...
I just love that we're getting Harley Quinn season 3, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a win all by itself. You know, all right, so I was talking to somebody about this earlier today, even. you know how there's like a category of things?
Traditionally, yeah.
Yeah, generally, since Plato, things have had categories. So, category of things that like someone tells you, this is great, it's fantastic, you should watch it. And your response is like, I disagree with nothing you've said. I expect that you're right. I have not had time, and I don't know when I will. But I completely accept your review of this situation. Veep is one of those. Like, I do wish I had more time for that. Yeah. Honestly, I wish I could just pop off for about 2 days a month into my own little fucking pocket universe where I could just catch up on shit.
Oh, I think about that all the time.
Right?
Like a limbo realm where I could just like, where I won't age and I can just work on stuff and or just binge watch.
Yeah.
Shit.
Just learn
or read
or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think about it all the time. Yeah. All the time.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
People would be like, how do you get so much shit done, Dave? I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of a master.
I
don't
know, man. I mean, just fucking, I just watched this TED talk about organization. It's fucking off.
Did you see what I posted about what my wife said about TED Talks?
I did. That's what reminded me.
she said, she's like, what does TED Talk mean? What does that stand for? The educated dick? I was not expecting it at all from her.
It's not her style. Yeah.
Like, that's some kind of shit I would say. God, I'm rubbing off on you. It's horrible.
No, honey. No, stay you. Stay you. Only needs to be one of you.
It was funny, though.
Well, it needs to be one of us in this house, I promise. We're going to reach a critical mass if we get beyond it.
Every time that shit's on, it's just some asshole up there, like some dick telling me what to do. Yeah, so... Tom Cavanaugh from The Flash said he would return to The Flash for a final reverse Flash battle. He says, I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but Greg Berlanti and I always felt that when Grant decides to depart the show, it would be hard to imagine a scenario other than Batman comes home to Joker and Flash and Reverse Flash settle things. It'd be hard to imagine a different storyline. And that's all I'm going to say right now.
That's fair.
He's not wrong. And, you know, we never did find out what exactly in the Arrowverse is the deal between, you know, the Thawns and the
actual the catalyst? No.
Yeah.
That remains to be seen. Also, genuinely, one of the, you know, unpulled threads of that universe is, you know, a couple crises ago and or a couple of crossovers ago. It's, what was it like, you know, what face will I be wearing next time?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of threat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I loved that threat. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I'll say this, though, and I think I've said it before. I'm pretty sure I have. If I recall, the reason that the Thawns and the Allens hate each other is because Barry is a twin. And his twin brother wound up going to the Thawns. And his twin brother ends up being the supervillain Cobalt Blue.
That is one of the reasons I've seen. One of the other ones is more kind of generic, like... just kind of stupid, egotistical, like, you know, Thawne always tried to live his life as best he could, but he was always in the shadow of this person and, you know, developed some animosity about that. Like, it's an explorable backstory, but kind of a, you know, it's not my favorite of the possible storylines.
Yeah. I've always just wanted to see Grant Gustin do Cobalt Blue, but...
yes.
Like, hey, you want to do Bad Guy for a second time? Grant? Yeah. All right.
He did pretty good with the first one. I'd be happy to see him do it again.
Absolutely. Did you see this this terrible looking first look at Jordan Fisher as Impulse?
I didn't think it was that terrible looking.
I thought it was really bad
looking. Look, I don't love the goggles, but the rest of it I'm really pretty happy with.
I don't really hate the costume. Like, even the set pick... this is what was crazy. The set pictures actually look good. The shitty non-doctored set pictures. He looks like freaking Impulse. He looks great. This whatever the CGI thing is, they have just looks awful.
Well, all right. So like, that was the other thing I was considering.
Limbs is look like, kind of stunted and weird.
I agree. I think there was a lot of overproduction, like for a one shot on that, though. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I did see the pictures of them on set, and I think we're gonna like it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't love the goggles, but I don't love Bart's goggles in general. Like they're just kind of big and weird. They look like ski goggles. I do like them.
They remind me of Booster Gold's goggles, and I like that.
All right, so there's especially the tie-ins. I love that. Yeah, but it's not my favorite look. But man, whatever. It's just an aesthetic.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's not the costume that I have a problem with this picture. It's just this. It's not even that I'm like necessarily like, oh, he should. This looks so lame. It's just like I'm troubled that they would let that out. Like that someone would look at that and go, that looks great.
Print it.
It's like, what are you guys doing? Like, who's sitting there going, you know, I think that's perfect.
Yeah,
that looks fantastic. Oh, really?
I also love saying "paint killer" because I know there's a group of people that pisses off every time. It makes me happy.
Painkiller, not picked up at the CW. The Black Lightning spinoff is dead at the CW. They said they're going to shop it to HBO Max or whatever. That's fine. I guess. I'm glad it's not going forward. I know I say routinely, I want all the things. But that's not true. I don't want all the things. I saw that backdoor pilot. I didn't want it. I was like, mm-mm. That was real bad, y'all.
Yeah, it's not on my Christmas list.
Christmas list. Black Lightning, you know, the first half of that season was pretty good. Last half, after that after the painkiller thing, it was just, they shoehorned them into every episode. It was not great. I guess we'll get around to doing a review of it when you actually watch any of it.
Yeah,
but
watch just enough to be dangerous. It'll get there.
Yeah, and you know it was a good enough ending.
Speaking of,
you know
our reviews are going to be delayed because both of us are having trouble finding just time to squeeze in all the shows. But they'll be there.
I'm actually caught up on all the shows.
Well, damn it,
at the moment.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, I'm
watching Lucifer, and you're not.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not caught up on Lucifer or Pennyworth.
Oh, fuck. I'm not. I haven't even started Pennyworth.
Me either.
And then there's Watchmen.
Yeah, I never saw that.
I know.
I never got to
it's
it.
It's so good.
I never got to it.
So good.
Maybe I'll get to it someday soon, and we'll have a discussion on Patreon or something. It's I don't know.
Convoluted, and I mean that in a good way, enough that I'd almost have to watch it again at this point. But I genuinely think I remember enough from it that I could have a pretty serious discussion with it right now.
Yeah. I mean, you did a whole podcast about it.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot.
Yeah. Did you saw these pictures of Luke from Batwoman as Batwing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those pictures looked good enough that I was actually sorry that this season of Batwoman has been garbage.
See, I've seen about half of it so far, and you know, there are moments and episodes where I, you know, was less enchanted, and some where I liked it, but it's been about 50-50 so far this season for me. What
I mean, Alice is fun.
Alice is always a goddamn riot, man.
But
everything
else has just been kind of ugh for me. Just bored. I'm just bored. I don't hate it, but I'm bored.
I can see it. That suit, though, stellar.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fucking astronomical. That thing is insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could not be more excited about the suit itself. That's fantastic. And I do love that actor in that role. And he's even fucking writing comics for Nightwing. Like, deeply excited about that person in that role in general. Creatively, behind the scenes, front of the scenes, whatever.
Yeah, I like the job he does on the show. It hasn't been there for me this season. I hate it.
No, it'll happen.
It's not there for me this season.
It'll happen.
You know, a lot of exposition dumps, a lot of filler, it feels like, you know. I generally don't get into that stuff very, very much. Did you see that they were making a Bebo holiday special?
I did. I did.
It is an all-new animated one-hour special. Bebo Saves Christmas. It says everyone's favorite fuzzy toy turned furry god will once again be a hero as he hopes to save Christmas. When Sprinkles, an efficiency-obsessed elf, decides that Christmas would run better without Santa Claus, Bebo and his friends travel to the North Pole to help discover what truly makes Christmas meaningful. Starring Ben Diskin as the voice of Bebo, Kimiko Glynn as the voice of Tweebo, Yvette Nicole Brown as the voice of Turbo, Keith Ferguson as the voice of Fleebo, Chris Kattan as the voice of Sprinkles, Ernie Hudson as the voice of Santa Claus.
Dear God.
Narrated by Victor Garber.
Fucking of course.
Yep. This is going to be real dumb.
Okay. It may be... All right. It may be dumb in the right ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fascinating to me as a show that Legends has... It's one of those shows where, like, man, the first season was, pretty solid. Like, it was mm-hmm. good, but it was good in the same way that kind of the rest of the CW shows were good, right?
Yeah.
Like, it had its own take. It had some unique characters that were fun to follow and all that. But it honestly was the introduction of Bebo where I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And then they get to the season finale with Bebo in it. And it was so fucking insane that at some point I turned a corner. If there's such a thing as a reverse jump the shark, that was it. Yeah. Where I'm like, cool, you know what? I've reset my expectations for the show. This is what I expect now. And as for this, they're killing it. I love it.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to do that. I don't know how to categorize that. I don't remember seeing something like that. But yeah, it was neat and very unique that they did that in my mind. And then since then, it's just been a lot of fucking fun to watch, you know?
Yeah.
So all that being said, I'm kind of deeply curious about a Bebo fucking Christmas special. That could be neat. It's a neat, that's a good cast. Like, that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it could be.
I have lost the ability to have expectations about that show, which may be a good thing.
Yeah, Legends is all over the place, man. But I'm enjoying it. I always enjoy it. Or I have the last couple of years.
It's its own little brand of thing, man. But shit, it's good.
Yep. We got one more piece of news here. Naomi, the Ava DuVernay series mm-hmm. from DC, has been picked up. It has been ordered to series at the CW. So that is it's from the Oscar nominee Emmy winner Ava DuVernay and Jill Blankenship of Arrow,
mm-hmm.
Starring Casey Walfall of Army Wives Power, The Lion King on Broadway, and the title role, the DC drama. Naomi follows the journey of a cool, confident, comic book loving teenager. I'm not sure those things exist. As she pursues her hidden identity, her hidden destiny, when a supernatural event shakes her small hometown of Port Oswego, Naomi sets out to uncover its origins with a little help from her fiercely loyal best friend, Annabelle. She also has the support of her adoptive doting parents, veteran military officer Greg and linguist Jennifer. After an encounter with Zumbato, the mysterious owner of a used car lot, leaves her shaken, Naomi turns to tattoo shop owner Dee, who becomes her reluctant mentor. While unraveling the mystery of herself, Naomi also navigates her high school friendships with both military kids and local townies, including ex-boyfriend and high school jock Nathan, Annabelle's longtime loyal boyfriend Jacob, proud townie Anthony, and fellow comic book enthusiast Lords, as Naomi journeys to the heights of the multiverse in search of answers. What she discovers will challenge everything we believe about our heroes.
Oh, that's fitting, though.
Yeah, that sounds... cool. It's like Ava DuVernay's Stargirl is what it sounds like to
yeah.
me. But
I mean, I've run across Naomi in the books, and it's she was powerful enough to take someone down that took Superman out.
Mm-hmm.
And it is some kind of extra dimensional energy that, you know, in the Michael Bendis run, Batman and Superman are just confused about how the fuck she is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if they're playing with multiverse in this show, I'm way more interested.
Oh yeah,
Like, I don't know the character from the comics, but...
That was my introduction to her, was when she got, like, pulled into the Bendis run.
Yeah. Well, cool. I look forward to seeing how that plays out. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's kind of owned by the same people, but I'm actually pretty interested in the Powerpuff Girls live action show.
I'm curious.
Have you heard who's playing the professor?
No.
It's Donald Faison from Scrubs.
Oh, fuck yes.
They just got delayed because they're retooling the pilot. But they like shot a pilot. Apparently the studio didn't care for it. There was something about it they didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
But they're maintaining their whole cast. It's just they're retooling it. Mm-hmm. But it's Dove Cameron and the girl who they were both on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Dove Cameron and this girl, she played Daisy. She was Sky Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're both a couple of the Powerpuff Girls.
Nice.
So I'm like, okay, yeah. Is it going to be like Riverdale, though? Is it going to be like dark, broody version?
What are we doing here? I don't know. CW, you've done a lot of stuff. And it's always, it's like a fireworks of directions. I don't know where you're going to go with stuff. So,
is it going to be like
screenshots at least?
The evil monkey guy, is he just going to be like, I don't know, having sex with old ladies and pulling strings behind the scenes, like freaking Hiram Lodge on Riverdale? Like, what's
I don't know.
I don't know.
And I don't know what tone they're going to take with any given pilot. I just don't know, man.
Yeah. That's what I want to see. I want to see, you know, under the influence of Mojo Jojo, Bubbles opens a speakeasy. And
and meets a chimp detective. Wait.
Right. Right. She hires Miss Sarah Bellum to run the run the books without realizing she's in league with Mojo Jojo in all the wrong ways.
Yeah, of course.
The bouncer is Fuzzy Lumpkins.
Dear God. Dear good God.
That's going to call it. I'm going to call it.
Let's wrap.
I'm good.
That's fine.
I'm hungry. Thank you guys so much for listening to DC on Screen. If you've made it this far, we do truly love you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find every episode at dconscreen.com and all of the aforementioned places for you to visit. The donation button, the Patreon link is dconscreen.com or patreon.com/dconscreen. You know, if you actually want to get go straight to it. We'll be back. We'll be back next week if there's enough news to swing it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there for a few weeks there wasn't, but
these things used to be seasonal and they're a bit more sporadic now.
It's sporadic. It's okay though. We'll get back.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, keep some DC on your screen. Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit dconscreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC On Screen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.dv.